feeling you, girl.
Good evening, family. My name is LaVeda, and I'm an addict. My clean date is June 3rd, 2008. My home group is a Search for Serenity group in the South Potomac area. And I'd like to thank the program committee, the convention committee, for asking me to share my experience with the Hope. They had originally asked me the secretariat meeting, which I was absolutely perfectly fine with, because I had a little bit of experience with that, but I've never done anything like this before. So I, like Dave, I'm going to ask you all to bear with me as I do my best to come from a place of God and not a place of LaVeda, because I can do that really, really well. And the topic, saving my face,
save
my ass and not my face, okay. So I should know that, right? But I struggled with that my entire life because as a young girl, I had a very traumatic experience. And because I thought people would blame me or judge me or think that it was my fault, I didn't tell anybody. And as a direct result of that incident, I think I used for over 25 years. And when I finally was able to tell somebody, because like Dave alluded to, and it wasn't really something that was small, it was something that I didn't understand, that I had no information about, but I felt like it was something that wasn't supposed to be happening to me. But because of the fear that had developed in me at a very young age, I didn't think I could share it with anybody, so I kept it. And in order not to feel pain, when somebody said, here, come and try this, I said, sure. You know, and then when that began to stop working, you know, somebody else said, come and try this. And I said, sure. And I didn't like the way that made me feel. And so I, you know, the disease is progressive as it is. It took me a lot of places and it had me doing a lot of things because I couldn't save my face or my ass or whatever. I just didn't know what to do. And I came into the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. I was introduced. God, somebody told me that they first saw me back in the late 80s. I was so messed up by the time I came to that first meeting. I don't even know when it was. But I came in and I listened. I didn't believe y'all. I thought y'all were all using. Because my whole life, everybody I knew that I didn't work with was using. So I thought that that was what everybody did. You know, and so every day I had to go to work. And people were talking about going to the play and to the opera and to the movies. And so I had to make up shit, you know, because I couldn't tell them I had sat on the floor all night and smoked crack. You know, and I know that I appeared to be someone who was doing something. I just didn't believe that they knew what it was, you know, because I was always tired. So I always had this excuse about having allergies or, you know, I couldn't sleep last night because I had a headache or some crazy, you know, unbelievable crap. But I guess they believed me, you know, and I'm thinking I'm getting over. And as long as I could do this and have people think that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to keep going down this line. So my disease told me that I couldn't stop using. Like, I couldn't go a day without using because maybe that night I would get a good night's sleep and I would look refreshed. So then I couldn't explain what I looked like the next day when I had been up using all night. And I mean, I would stay up all night and I would put cool rags on my eyes. You know, I would drink milk, and I drank a lot of vodka, too, because I couldn't figure out any other way to get down. You know, they said, drink milk, that stuff didn't work for me. But as a direct result of going down that path, I would come to the meetings, and people would say, how are you doing? And instead of me saying, I'm still using, I would say, I'm fine. And I think y'all must have known, but y'all welcomed me anyway. Y'all said, come in and take a seat, get a phone book, keep coming back, more will be revealed. And I never, ever could imagine that that I would be living the life that I'm living today. It took me over 20 years of coming to meetings to get my first 30 days clean, because I didn't believe anything that you all said, and I didn't have any hope, because all I knew is that I had this pain and that there was nothing that could cure it. Or that's what I thought. But the program Narcotics Anonymous has taught me that I can learn to live a life, no matter whatever has happened to me, whatever is gonna happen to me, that I can live a happy and productive life free of alcohol and drugs. And the one thing that struck me, and that was the other thing, I used to come to meetings so I could say to my parents, I need to use the car so I could come to the meeting. And I would go across town and I would cop, and I would come and sit in the meeting for 90 minutes with drugs in my pocket. And I would always get fidgety when y'all said, if you have any drugs or drug paraphernalia, please take that stuff outside and bring your stuff back in. Because I know once I left the meeting, I wasn't coming back. So I would sit there and I would watch the clock and say, God, please let them hurry up and finish, so I can go and do what I need to do. And I went to many meetings that way. And then one day a young lady said to me, it doesn't matter what you're doing out there, Levada, just as long as you keep coming in here. She said, you don't ever have to use again, even if you want to. And that was big for this spoiled only child who did everything that she wanted to do, whenever she wanted to do it, however she wanted to do it, whenever she wanted to do it. But instead of me being able to come in here and tell you guys, I couldn't tell you that I was still using, although, like I said, I figured you probably already know, because we know each other pretty well, even if we don't know each other, because we're more alike than we are different. So I continued to manage to come to meetings because I continued to want to use the car. And a young lady who lived across the street from me, my mother would always tell me, you need to be more like her. She take care of her kids. She go to work. You need to be more like this person. And this person would call me a couple of nights out of the week, and she would say, we didn't have caller ID back then. And my mother would answer the phone, and she would say, ask Gail, does she want to go to a meeting? And of course I couldn't say no, because I felt like if I said no, that she would know what I was doing. So I would, you know, continue to go to meetings, you know, under the influence. But thank God for my process, because what it allowed was for a seed to be planted, you know. And every time I would leave, I would use. And I'd go back in a couple of days, and I would leave, and I would use. And finally, one day, one Tuesday, I raised my hand, and I said that I had less than 24 hours clean. And they passed around a phone book. And I got some phone numbers, but I still had drugs at home. So, of course, I went home and I used. And then the next Tuesday, I was in the same meeting, and I raised my hand and I said, I have 24 hours. And they said, do you need a phone book? And so I passed around the phone book that I had. And as it turned out, that Wednesday morning, when I didn't know what else to do, when there was nothing left to do, I picked up that phone book and I started calling numbers. Well, by the time I got halfway through those numbers, I had gotten to a number that I already had, like the same numbers, the next nine numbers were the same. But I was calling and no one was answering their phone, and my disease said, I don't know why they gave you their numbers. They don't want to talk to you. They're not interested in helping you. But one thing I heard was, if you want to use, call somebody. And my disease was so treacherous that I wouldn't call y'all, I'd call the dope man if I wanted to use. But this particular day, I started calling y'all. Y'all weren't answering your phone. And something, it must have been God said, you know, people have jobs, Levada. Because I hadn't worked in a long time either. But by the time I got to the end of the list, people started calling me back. And they just said, don't use and go to a meeting. And today, I find myself, I can't think of the topic, not saving my ass for my face. And I talk to people and I call them and I tell them what's going on with me. And they try to help me. And as soon as they say blah, 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 I say, okay, Alright, yeah, I know. I won't give them a chance to say what they need to say. I won't give myself a chance to receive it. That's blocking a blessing. Because somebody's trying to help me, but I'm so arrogant that I believe that I know what you're going to say and how you're going to help me, and I know all the answers. Well, knowing all the answers got me a seat in this wonderful program called Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God today, like, I'm on sponsor number 6, right? And I've had some very good sponsors, but I wasn't able to talk to any of them. They would say, how you doing? And I would say, I'm fine. And they would say, how you doing? And I would say, I'm fine. And they would say, did you read this or did you read that? And I'd be like, lying, yeah. Well, what'd you think about it? You know, and then I have to run and flip through the book and, you know, just trying to make up some stuff. Instead of saying, no, I didn't read it. You know, being honest, like saving my ass and not my face means I got to be honest. I got to write. I got to be honest. And if I can't be honest, you know, I can't get the help that I need. Sharing and being honest and getting to the exact nature is something that I struggle with. I went to meetings for many, many years, and I would sit in the car and I would smoke cigarettes until 7:29, and I would go in the meeting and I, you know, would sit. I was always one that sat in the front, but I would hear the message and I would leave at 9:02. And be in the car smoking cigarettes. I wasn't trying to get to let you all to know me. But I wanted to know y'all. But I didn't want y'all to know me. Which tells me that I have an issue with building relationships. Yeah, I want to know how that happened for you. And how did you get to the other side. But I'm not willing to tell you anything about Leveda. And so when I learned the meaning of sharing is caring, and how we get the help, what did it say, from each other, the NA way, I started to understand that I had to do some work, you know, some real work. I had to read. I had to come to meetings. I had to talk to my sponsor. I had to develop a network. That was really hard for me. Because in the beginning, I would call women and they wouldn't call me back, and I would cry. My feelings would be really, really hurt. And the young lady who's my sponsor today, prior to her being my sponsor, I had to call her up and I had to ask her about that. And she told me I was doing the right thing. And that she understood, because the same thing had happened to her. And like, she's one of the most popular people in our area right now, because she's happy, she's bubbly, and she's helpful. You know what I'm saying? She's not selfish. And that's kind of what I strive to be, you know. And I too, I'm in service. And service helped me to be able to get outside of myself, because I'm selfish. I'm an only child. There's nothing more important in the world than me. And, you know, if you can't do it for me, somebody else will. You know, and the fellowship doesn't work that way. And if I want to live a better life, if I want to find the happiness, the joyousness, and the peacefulness that so many of our members have found, then I have to do something different than I've always done. And I thank God for being willing to do for me what I'm unable or unwilling to do for myself, because I get a lot of suggestions. And people be like, well, you know, Levady, you got to do something. Because I be like, I know. Levady, can you, you know, you got to do that. I know. You know, and that trips me up. It trips me up. It throws me off. It doesn't allow me to give myself a chance. And I know it's really all in the disease, because the disease doesn't want me to get well. You know, and I always used to think that, I was what they call a chronic go-back outer, right? Because it took me so long to get my first 30 days. But today I understand that this is a process that doesn't happen overnight, and that I'm not perfect. Oh, my God. I suffer with this thing called perfectionism. And as a result, I want you to be perfect, too. You know, but I can't tell you that you made a mistake. How about I can't tell you that you hurt my feelings? And that's blocking, you know, that keeps me from saving my ass, because I internalize all that stuff that I think you've done, that my disease said you did, that I believe, and I get stuck. And so when they asked me to do this topic, I was like, first of all, I wanted to say no. You know, because, well, first of all, I didn't think they was going to ask me to speak, you know, so when I got the phone call, I was like, huh? Like, really, I was standing up, moving around, I had to sit down. And I heard you talk about a pause, and I understand what you said when you said, why would they ask me? You know, I'm still trying to figure out why would they ask me, because I didn't think this shit pertained to me at all. But as I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and I talked about it, God gave me some examples. You know, like, saying no would be saving your face and not your ass. Saying no to this opportunity to give back to this fellowship who was giving you so much, and it didn't cost anything. Thank God the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Because if it cost me anything, a dollar, or if I had to pass a drug test, I'd have never made it through the doors. If you're new here, I want to say welcome and give yourself a chance, because that was one thing I was unwilling to do for myself, is to give myself a chance. I was unable to give myself a chance because I didn't think I deserved a chance. You know, I really didn't think this thing was real. Today I know different. Today I know that I can make a mistake, you know. But if I don't talk about what I'm thinking, I'll make a lot more mistakes. You can be like, do you know? Did you hear what you just said? You know, I hear that a lot. Did you hear what you just said? So I get reminded that my thinking is not my friend. And if I don't talk about what's going on with me, I'm in a whole lot of trouble. I'm stuck. I'm lashing out. Oh, that's the other thing I do. I will talk about you. You know, if you didn't do what I, if you don't do what I think you would do, I will talk about you. And that's destructive. You know, and I'm trying hard. I didn't even know it's destructive. So now I'm identifying some stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? And it's only because I talk about you to somebody else. And they be like, well, I think you need to go talk to that person. You know? And then I be like, nah, I can't talk to them because they won't understand. And then 3 weeks later, I find myself on the phone. Listen, I need to talk to you about something. And then I say what I got to say. And then they say, well, I need to talk to you about something. You know what I'm saying? So I get to hear about my shit too, you know, and it's all relevant. It's the only way I can practice recovery. Like, I pray, and I don't want to ask God for patience and tolerance and courage and all of that stuff, because I'm afraid he's going to give me a lesson and I'm going to fail, you know, because every time I ask him for something like that, I get a lesson. And then when it's too late, I realize, damn, he gave me a chance and I messed up, you know. So today, I'm trying to take a look at my behavior, because my behavior could jackpot me very easily, because my disease, that thing talks to me. Thank God I don't know, like, different languages like Chinese or Japanese or German or anything, because I'd be really messed up. But it talks to me and it tells me things that I really don't understand, and I don't know whether or not I'm supposed to believe it, you know. And I heard some guy on a tape say, don't listen to it because it lies, you know. And I need to figure out what's the lie and what's the truth. And the only way I can do that is to keep coming back. And so I'm done. And thank you for letting me share.